And I'm so proud of you guys for coming out for a second night. Say amen if you were here last night.
Amen.
Say amen if you weren't here last night.
Amen.
All right. So you be... Man, I love them. They're good people. Y'all have some special preaching tonight. Pastor Daniel Ong's in the house. Him and his wife, Connie, they pastor International Christian Center in Renton, Washington. They are near and dear friends to Crystal and I. If you guys ever fire us, you will find us going to their church. That's the measure of the type of people that they are. You guys do such a great job of speaking into me and Crystal's lives, being friends to us and pastors to us and loving us. Our ministry and our church wouldn't be where it is today if it wasn't your influence in our lives. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am that you are in our lives, how proud I am of what God has done in your lives. I brag about you guys all the time. So everybody's like, I know this person, I know that person. I'm like, but I know the Ongs. And I just hope that you would hear me and Crystal's heart tonight, just how much we love you and how proud we are of you guys and how thankful we are that you guys are in our lives. We love you so much. Some of you may not know Pastor Ong and the story. They came to Faith and Victory probably back in like 2005, 2006, back in Sideways Church. And they were just visiting from being in Ghana. And they're some of the most humble people that you'll ever meet, so they won't sing their praises, but I will. They've been missionaries all over the globe. They probably planted, I would guess, probably somewhere between 30 and 50 churches. They have touched more lives than probably people that I've even met in my life, and that's saying a lot. And the best thing I love about them is how humble they are about it. All they want to do is just serve Jesus. So tonight, I just pray that you would be open to what the Holy Spirit has for you, and to receive the engrafted word that will come from Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel, will you please come?
Amen. Praise God. I'm so happy to be here tonight. Amen. Thank you.
These black lines are your right and left limits for video.
All right. Thank you. Amen. It's just a privilege to be here this evening, especially now. Wow, 15 years old. Wow. That's amazing. Amen.
Amen.
When I met Pastor Matt, he still had hairs coming down. No. But it's just a privilege to be here tonight. I know God have greater things for this church. And when Pastor Matt asked me to preach this evening, I pray and I fell in my spirit. God say that I have greater things for them. Hallelujah. So my message today is about greater things that God want to do in your life today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I just want to thank you for each and everyone here. I want to thank you for the things that you're about to do in this place. I thank you for Pastor Matt and Crystal. I thank you for their life. I thank you for each and everyone that's here this evening. And I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will quicken our spirit, oh God. And you will speak to us. And there will be a change, a transformation in this place. Father, I thank you right now. Hallelujah. We want to give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. As I pray, I see like a big tree. Hallelujah. I see this tree, gigantic tree, just so tall and so big and so strong. And when you look at it, it's just majestic to look at this tree. And the Lord say that tree is what I'm building up. In this house, hallelujah. I'm going to make this house as strong, as tall, and it's going to shine. It's going to be seen everywhere. And I say to you, Pastor Matt, the Lord say, I have put you here for a very special purpose. And the time have come, and I'm about to bring you to a new level. And I'm about to bring you to a level that you have never been before. There is a special anointing. And I say to you, Pastor Matt, right now, the Lord say, I put in you a prophetic anointing. A prophetic anointing, not just on Crystal, but on you too. And from now on, you're going to speak, you're going to prophesy. And the Lord say, I put in you that spirit a heart of a father. Hallelujah. And then you're going to start fathering people in this church. Hallelujah. And there will be people that will come into your life, and you're going to father them, and you're going to mentor them, and you're going to bring them up to be men and women of His will, and to do great and mighty thing in this house. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You for tonight. I want to thank You for everyone that's here tonight. And I want to commit this time to You right now. For You have greater things for this church. And I pray, God, our spirit will be open to Your Holy Spirit to do that work that You have started in this place. Father, I thank You right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. Hallelujah. What He has started, He will continue. Hallelujah. You know, all of us here, we are here because God have a plan and a purpose for us. Yes. Pastor Matt is here because God have a plan and a purpose for his life. You know, he's here not by accident. He's not like 15 years ago sitting in his dining table eating pizza and thinking, wow, maybe I should go to Auburn. No. The Holy Spirit put that in his heart. The Holy Spirit put that in his heart because God have a plan and a purpose for this house. Hallelujah. And just as God have a plan and a purpose for Pastor Matt and Crystal, God has a plan for each and every one of you here. Hallelujah. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. It says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before even you were conceived in your mother's womb, God already have a plan and purpose for you. And the Bible say, by His grace, He will enable us to fulfill that plan and purpose in our life before we go up there to meet with Him. Hallelujah. We are not an afterthought. God have designed a special plan for each and every one of us. We will be different than Pastor Matt and Crystal, but yet God have a plan and purpose for you in this house. You are here not by accident, but God, through His divine intervention, have brought you here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. And His grace is in this place. Hallelujah. The grace of God is in this house. And if you allow that grace of God to come into your heart, you will find strength. You will find the ability of God to fulfill that plan and purpose for you. Hallelujah. And this evening, I want to share with you, and I want to look to you, and I want to say to you, God, He has a greater things in store for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Turn to someone next to you and say, He has greater things for you. I want to share with you three things tonight. I want to share with you three things tonight that you need to know as you move to a greater things that God has for you. Hallelujah. The first thing we have to know is this. Our God, the creator of heaven and the earth, the one and true and the living God, and there's none like Him, He has prepare great things for us. Hallelujah. Every one of you seated here today, God has prepared especially something great and wonderful for you. But you need to begin to look to Him. You cannot put God in a box. Hallelujah. You cannot say, you know, I know God have a special plan and purpose for me, but you know, my situation, the place I'm in right now, I don't think it's possible. But I want to tell you, nothing is impossible to God. Hallelujah. All things are possible to Him, the creator of heaven and the earth, the universe, the stars, the moon. He can do all things. And if you don't put Him in a box, and you don't put yourself in that box, yes, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak and move in you and through you, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. When I was in Singapore just last month, and I met this young man, and I have never met with him before, and it was my first time meeting him, and it was such wonderful to hear a testimony about his life. This young man, I don't have his picture here, but when... That's it. All right. Thank you. All right. Look at this young man. His name is Timothy, and he was born in Tibet. And his father and mother were so poor, and they have so many kids, that they decided when he was about 6 years old, they say that, you know, we have no money to feed this guy, this boy. And so they decided to take him to Nepal, to Kathmandu, and gave him, at 6 years old, to a Buddhist monastery to be trained to be a Buddhist monk. And when he was there, at 6 years old, the Buddhist monk would train him how to read the scripture, the Buddhist scripture and Buddhist way. And when he failed to read properly when he's not able to meditate and all these things, they will actually beat him up. In fact, they would take him to a small room and just kind of like put him in like a small cell, a jail cell, as a punishment. And he will cry every night going to sleep, thinking that there's no more hope in his life. And then one day, he decided to run away. About 6 or 7 years old. And he would run away, and they would catch him and bring him back. They'll find him and bring him back. For a few times, he would try to escape, but they will find him and bring him back. And when he brought him back, they'll beat him up again. But when he was 8 years old, this young man here, you see his picture with two kids and a wife now. He, at 8 years old, he decided to try again. And this time, he escaped from the Buddhist monastery. And then they could not find him this time, because now he's smarter. He's 8 years old now. They couldn't find him, so he went into the street of Kathmandu. So he thought, now I'm free from these people. But yet, he have nobody around him to help him. So he will be walking around homeless in that street of Kathmandu, looking for food, looking for a shelter. And he will go to this dumpster, looking for food. And one winter, it was so cold that he thought to himself, I'm going to die now. This is probably my last day. And he couldn't find food, and he was freezing cold. And if you've been to Kathmandu during the winter time, it is terrible. I was there, so I know. So this young boy, 8 years old, finally he found a corner on the street and found some cardboard to shelter himself from the cold. And he thought to himself, sitting there with this cardboard around him, thinking that this is probably my last night. Suddenly, about 4 a.m. in the morning, freezing cold inside that cardboard, he heard a voice in Nepali say, are you okay? And he thought to himself, what is this? Are you okay? And suddenly he saw this someone remove the cardboard from him, and then he opened up his eye, he saw this white lady staring at him, speaking in Nepali and say, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm not. And that lady took him home, showered him, give him clothes, and later give him an education. The long story short, this man grew up in that home with so many other kids, similar cases. Grew up, went to school, and then later went to university. And one day, God called this man to go to Bible school. Then he went to Bible school, and after he graduated from Bible school, that church that he grew up with this lady, they sent him to London to plant a church. And today this young man is in London pastoring a Nepali congregation, met this Chinese girl in the church, got married, have two kids. Hallelujah. And not only that, this young man now today, not just pastoring a church, he's also a businessman, and he owned a supermarket. I mean, talk about where he was as a child and where he is right now. God have done the impossible. Hallelujah. when you don't put God in a box, and when you don't put yourself in a box, and you allow God to do the impossible, His plan and purpose will come to pass. Hallelujah. But this is not the end here. That lady that took this young man as a child to the home, that lady, God called her when she was probably 14 years old, spoke to her and said, one day you're going to go to this land, Nepal. In fact, gave her dreams about the land that she had never been before. When she finished university in Southern California, she decided it's time to go. And she went as a young woman, I believe 21 years old, to the land that there is no single female missionary that have gone there to do anything. In fact, she went there, people would tell her, you know, as a single missionary, female missionary, there's nothing much you can do here. And she said, well, I'm here to help. I'm here to love. I'm here to plant a church. She said, well, nothing is going to happen here. You know. But this young woman at that time did not put God in a box. And she did not put herself in that box. She allowed God to move, and God's plan and purpose start moving in her life and through her life. Now, this is now, she had been in Nepal almost 45 years now.
Wow.
But this one woman that did not limit God now have not just one, but so many now men and women that graduated, one a doctor, one's a lawyer, one this and that. And today in her home, there are at least 70 other children and female in the house that she's taking care. And today, that church that she planted, it's a few thousand members. I saw pictures of her Sunday service. Huge hall. Huge. And everybody sat on the floor. There's no chair like this. No red chairs. Everybody sat on the floor. Men on one side, women on one side. But when the music played, when time to praise God, you see that woman, that man, that one side man, one side woman, and sitting on the floor, they just start praising the name of Jesus. And that place will be filled with the presence of God. Nothing is impossible to God when we allow God's plan and purpose to be fulfilled in us. Hallelujah. That woman is my sister-in-law. Hallelujah. Some of you seated here tonight, you say, but Pastor, you don't understand the place I'm in right now. I'm in depression. I'm in distress. Let me tell you, in the book of Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, the psalmist say, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. The psalmist said, relieve me. You have relieved me of my distress.
Right.
The distress means a place of difficulty, a place that you feel trapped, a place that you feel you are in bondage. But I'm telling you today, when you cry up to God, He will bring deliverance. Hallelujah. In fact, during the service, I was worshiping the Lord. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, hear the sound of the Spirit. And I thought, what is that? Hear the sound of the Spirit. And I say, what is the sound of the Spirit? He said, the sound of deliverance. The sound of healing. The sound of me moving in the hearts of men and women, calling them by name for the ministry that I have prepared for them. Hallelujah. If you close your eyes and hear the sound of the Spirit, you will hear the calling of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Because God wants to turn your disappointment into His appointments. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Because God has greater things for us.
Yes.
We have to stop limiting God, what He can do in us and through us.
Amen.
We are living in the last of the last days. We need to rise up. Hallelujah. In fact, there is a revival in this place. Some of you say, where? I wish I have a big mirror to show it to you. The revival is in you. Hallelujah. The question is, are you tapping? Are you moving? Are you embracing? Are you allowing the Spirit of the Lord to work in you and through you? And if that is happening in you, that is the revival. Hallelujah. Yes. The second thing you need to know, not only God has prepared a greater things for you, but what He started, He will finish it. Hallelujah. Yes. The minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you ask Him to come into your heart, the great and mighty God began a new work in you. He started a plan and a purpose that you don't even know. And the plan that He started in you from day one, when you accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He will finish it. Hallelujah. If you don't give up. If you cry up to Him, He will finish it. Hallelujah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 26, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. And then the second time in Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus say the Lord who make it, the Lord who form it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. And verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hallelujah. In this passage, we see both the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and he spoke to Jeremiah and said, is there anything too difficult for me? For our Lord God Almighty, in Him, nothing is too difficult. Hallelujah. And then the word of the Lord came a second time. And this time, Jeremiah is in a small cell, a prison. And the word here, while he was still shut up. And the word shut up means, in the original Hebrew's word, means in a tight place. Tough, impossible situation, in a hopeless situation. And friend, if you are in a tight place today, if you are in a place like Jeremiah, shut up. That means in an impossible, tight situation, a hopeless situation. I'm telling you this, the word of the Lord is to you, for us tonight is there anything too difficult for me?
Yes.
Nothing is too impossible. Yes. Nothing is too difficult for me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jeremiah trusted in the Lord. And he said, if you call up to me, if you cry up to me, I will do wonders for you.
Yes.
I will set you free. I will deliver you. And I will bring you up to a place of refreshing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
For nothing is impossible to him. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24, it says, God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is faithful and he will finish what he called us to do. Is there anything too difficult for him? Just recently, just last week, I was in Ghana, Africa. And in our church, we have a missionary from the Netherlands. And so Connie and I, we have lunch with her. And she was a nurse in Netherlands. And now she works in the northern part of Ghana. And she will go there as a nurse and help people. And sometimes she will give micro loan stuff to poorer people to help them with business and so forth. And she was sharing with me one time when she went up to the north of Ghana to help people, to meet up with some people. And when she got there, there was a group of ladies that came to her and said to her, you need to come and help us. I said, yeah, I'm here for that. He said, but no, I'm not talking about money here. You need to come because there is a girl that you need to meet. And they told her the name of this girl. She said, well, I thought I know this girl. I heard about her before. She's a girl in that village down there. He said, yes, but something have happened to her. You need to come. So when they brought her to see this girl, when she entered that room to meet this girl, that young girl is covered with cow dung. And not just covered with cow dung, but she was screaming, she was yelling, and the villagers, they don't know what to do with her, because she is totally demon possessed. Because no person with sound mind will cover themselves with cow dung. Hello? Some of you say, no. And when this lady went to her, she started screaming. And the villagers would tell her, they try everything. They even brought her to the hospital, and the doctor said there's nothing they can do. Now they have suggested that the only way is to bring her to the capital. That's a bigger hospital there, they say. And maybe the bigger hospital can help her. But this lady from our church, she thought, there's no hospital can help this girl. I mean, what doctor can help a person with cow dung? Is there a medicine that can help someone in that condition? So she told the people and told her parents, can I bring her to Accra for treatment? And they didn't know what type of treatment. And basically she had this in mind to bring her back to her house in Accra, the capital, to pray for her. So on that day they're about to leave, there is about 14 hours drive from the north to the capital. And so she told the people that's going with her, say, we are not stopping. We're going to drive straight 14 hours because this lady is not sound and we don't want anything to happen. So just to try to get this girl into the car was a challenge, because every time they would go near her, she would start screaming. And many times she would pull her clothes off and start running everywhere. But every time she heard the prayer, she would just stop and she would come down. So the only way to get her into the car was start praying and praying and praying and holding her hand as she come down. And slowly as you pray, you bring her into the car. And then she would just look at you and stare at you and feel the peace of God. So they start driving non-stop. But after 6 hours or 7 hours of driving, the people in the car told her, please stop. We have to go to use the restroom. Of course, you know, in English in Ghana, they don't call it restroom. Stop. Behind the tree. Somewhere. Yes, that's Ghana, you know. Toilet means behind the tree. So finally she said, okay, we'll stop somewhere. You guys go to the bush and do whatever you want and then quickly come back. But the minute she stopped the car, and when the passenger go and do whatever they want to in behind the tree, this young girl will start screaming. And this time she will come out of the car, and this time she will refuse to go into the car. And every time they ask her to go back to the car to continue the journey, she will start screaming again. They start praying. Then she feel the peace and she quiet down. And then they're able to convince her to go into the car. And this time, non-stop. They got to Accra, to the capital, to the house. They brought her in and she starts screaming again. And this time they sat her down. They said, we have to pray for her. They start praying for her the whole night. And the next morning they start praying for her. After 2 days of prayer, suddenly they saw a change in her. One morning after the second day, they went to the room to have devotion with her, to pray with her. When they walked in, she looked up and she smiled. She said, whoa, that's a different. And then in her hand, a Bible. And she looked at the Bible and she pretended to read because she doesn't know how to read. But it showed a desire. It showed that now something is happening. Hallelujah. The long story short, they continue to pray for her. By the fifth day, she was lifting up her hand and praising the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What is impossible to a human being is not impossible to God. Hallelujah. If that woman that put cow dung on herself can be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, then any one of us seated here, no matter what situation you are in, God can set you free. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, none of us here are covered with cow dung. Hallelujah. We are better. So God can set us free, and God have a greater plan for each and every one of us, for this city and beyond this city. Hallelujah. God is raising up this church to be a great lighthouse. Are we willing to walk in that impossibility and believe God to do the impossible? Hallelujah. The third thing I want to share with you that you need to know as you walk into the greater things that God has for you is this. If you want God to begin to move in your life and through your life, and begin to expect God to do greater things for you, you need to learn to begin to walk in obedience.
Yes.
There's no way around it.
Yes.
There's no magic bullet or magic charm or anything.
Yes.
Obedience is the key to the supernatural.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Again.
Some of you say, Pastor, I love to walk in the supernatural. How? Show it to me. Simple. Don't walk in the natural.
Yeah.
The minute you say, God, you tell me and I'll walk in it, total obedience, you are starting to walk in the supernatural. Because the word of the Lord that come to you and you begin to obey Him, that's already supernatural. Because it's not human word, but the almighty word. Hallelujah. That is supernatural. If God tell you to do this or that, you just do it. Just obey Him. And in that obedience, you're going to see the supernatural work of God. Hallelujah. How many of us here, we say to Jesus, I love you, Lord.
Yes.
Almost every one of us.
Yes.
Some of you even came forward and cried and said, Jesus, I love you.
Yes.
But do you really mean it?
Yes.
Because the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me,
yes,
obey my commandments.
Yes.
That is it. If you love Jesus, the only thing you have to do is obey Him.
Yeah.
I taught my kids, I have three kids, when they were growing up, I asked them this question, how much do you love Daddy? They'll say, I love you 1,000,000 times. And another one say, no, I'm more. I love you taller than the heavens. Another one say, no, I love you all the way to heaven and back. I say, that's not enough. They're like, what? And then my son, he would say, I love you 3,000,000,000 times 3,000,000,000 and I said, not enough. He said, what does that mean, Dad? How much do you want us to love you? I said, just one word. I love you so much that I obey you. Because
yeah.
That's what Jesus required. That's what God wants us. If you love Him, then you want to obey Him. Amen. And if you want to obey Him, then you got to get rid of the five senses.
Yeah.
The problem with us, we are not able to walk in obedience because we allow the five senses to control us.
Yes.
Feel, see, smell, taste, hear, all those things. It's good stuff. But God is moving beyond those things. Hallelujah. We are not limited by the five senses. Because if we are limited to the five senses, we are not able to walk in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Because if you want to walk in the supernatural, we have to go beyond the five senses. Hallelujah.
Wow. It's good.
In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1, they say, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But, listen carefully, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. What does that mean? They say all. In fact, I counted, there are five all together. It's stated here from verse 1 to 5. And all of them say, we experience this together. We have all of this. We experience. I mean, look, as Christian, all of us experience the grace of God, the miracle of God, you know, the salvation of God. We, some of us experience a lot more. But all of them come from the same Holy Spirit, the same type of experience. But at the end of the day, whatever we have gone through in our Christian life, still, there is something that is more than all the experience, is obedience. Because of disobedience, all of them that experienced all the miracle of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the strength of God, all those things are great. But at the end of the day, if you disobey God, it's all gone.
Yes.
It's not the beginning, it's the ending. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's not even in the middle, but it's the ending. Hallelujah. And the ending of all is obedience. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If you choose to obey God, then greater things God has for you. Hallelujah. And obedience required of the Lord is this, total obedience. Not half obedient, total obedient. I remember many years ago in Japan, when my son was quite young at the time, I think he was like 6 years old, and we homeschooled the kids. And so one day, Connie and I, we have some ministry to do. So I told my son, Sean, I said, look, we're going to go out for a couple of hours. We'll be back. And then we're going to take you out and have fun. But while we are out, I need you to do your homework. Just for about an hour or so, do your homework. And then we'll come back and then we'll go out and have fun. So after a couple of hours, we came home. We opened the front door and we came into the house. And he was standing right there waiting for us. And he has this smile, big smile, and say, hi daddy, hi mommy. I'm like, whoa, what a happy boy. You know? I say, what's happening here? He said, come on in, I want to show you something. He was so excited, and then we went into the living room. He said, look. I said, whoa, it's really clean. He said, come on in, come to the kitchen. Oh, it's totally clean. Come on. And he was so happy showing us room after room, the clean room, the clean living room, the clean kitchen. You know why? Because the last 2 hours, he has spent all his time and energy cleaning that whole house. He said, daddy, look. Are you not happy? I said, I'm so happy. He said, I did it all by myself. I said, that is great. He said, oh, I did a good job. I said, well done, son. And I said, by the way, have you finished your homework? Oh, yeah, I don't have time for that. I was so busy cleaning this house for you, Dad. And I didn't have time to finish my homework. I said, but I didn't ask you to clean the house. I asked you to do the homework. And what you did was good. There's nothing wrong with cleaning the house. But I didn't ask you to clean the house. I asked you to finish that homework. Then he looked at me. He said, Dad, I'm ready to go and have fun. I said, I'm sorry, there's no fun today. Because you're going to stay home and finish your homework. So we are not going out for fun until you finish your homework. And by the time you finish your homework, we won't have enough time to go out and have fun. So today there's no fun at all. And he's like, what? But I cleared. I said, I don't care. That was not the plan. I said, I just want you to obey me because I know what I'm doing. I have plans for you. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants each and every one of us to walk in obedience, total obedience, regardless of what, whether we like it or not. Sometimes we taught that we can do God a favor by doing what we think God wants us to do. But God requires us to just simply obey Him.
Yes.
If a thought come to you this evening and say, give $100 to Pastor Matt.
Yes.
You say, the devil is putting this thought in me. I can guarantee you that's not the devil. Because the devil doesn't want you to give. You say, then what? Where did this thought come from? It's not you. I know you're not going to give. if it's not the devil and it's not you, who else? Hallelujah. And the next step you have to do is obey. Hallelujah. Give Pastor Matt $100. Hallelujah. God is doing so much in each and every one of us. He's changing us from inside out. That's why in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word transform here, that word comes from a Greek word, and it's used in English, means to be changed, to be transformed from something to another.
Yes.
And in English, it's always used, the same word is used to describe the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Yes.
Have you seen? There's no picture. Yeah, well, thank you. You see, I found this online. So it's beautiful. A description of a transformation. And the same word is used here to describe the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Yes.
So God said you are a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You've been changed and transformed.
Yeah.
You are no more a caterpillar, but now you are a butterfly. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You used to be a caterpillar, but now you've been changed and transformed. You are a butterfly. The problem with us is that we are a butterfly, but we still act like a caterpillar. We're supposed to be flying like the butterfly, but we are still walking like a caterpillar. And that's why nothing is happening in our life, because we are still down here. Hallelujah. Rather, we need to be flying like the butterfly. Hallelujah. How many Christians have come to me and say, Pastor, it's so difficult. I say, yeah, it's difficult because you're crawling like a caterpillar. You got to rise up and start flying with the wings that God gave you. Hallelujah. And when you start flying like the butterfly, you are who you God has created you to be. And you have a plan and a purpose in your heart to do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. You need to stop crawling and walking and acting like a caterpillar.
Yes.
Because right now you are a butterfly of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are made beautiful. You have been changed and transformed. You are more than conqueror. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You are not a sinner, but you are saints of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's who you are today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You say, but is it possible?
Yes.
You don't understand, Pastor. I don't have any education. I don't have any talent. In fact, I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too big. I don't care.
Yes.
Amen.
Let me tell you, when God looked down, He's looking for someone that is willing to walk in obedience. That's it. It doesn't matter who you are, how tall, how big, how ugly, whether you're blue or you're purple, or whatever you are, it doesn't matter to God.
Yes.
Are you willing to walk in obedience?
Yes.
So that my power can move in you and through you.
Yes.
He has the power of the Holy Spirit living in you.
Yes.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now. Everybody say, now.
Now.
To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to what? The power that works in you. Hallelujah. The same power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Hallelujah. That power of the Holy Spirit is able to do wonders. It's able to do the transformation. It's able to change you and make you the man and woman of His will. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If Pastor Matt, sitting in his house 15 years ago, eating pizza, and the Holy Spirit say, Pastor Matt, I want you to plant a church in Auburn, and he say, no, thank you. We won't be here today.
Yes.
If Pastor Matt goes to Crystal and say, Crystal, God spoke to me. We got to go to Auburn. And Pastor Crystal say, what Auburn? Where? I'm not going there. I don't even know where it's all been. Nothing is going to happen. If Pastor Matt went to Pastor Jay and said, "Hey, Pastor Jay, I'm going to plant a church in Auburn. Will you come with me?" And Pastor Jay said, "Go with you?
Oh.
No way." Nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
It requires a man and a woman that will say, "Yes, Lord."
Yes.
It requires for us to say, "Lord, if you say to me to do this, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to believe you to do the great and mighty thing that you promised, that all things are possible." Amen.
Yes.
Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in this church, whether it's in a relationship, wherever you are, God can do the impossible.
Yes.
And He can change everything around for His glory.
Yes.
Because He wants to use you and I to bring down His glory on this earth.
Yes.
So that people will see and know the glory of the Son of God, the Messiah. And tonight, I know God have greater things for us.
Yes.
But are we willing to embrace it?
Yes.
Are we willing to say, "God, I'm here, use me.
Yes.
God, I want to walk in obedience from today onwards."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I sense in my spirit right now, there are at least 10 people here today. I don't know who you are, but I felt in my spirit, the Lord said there are 10 people here today in this place. At least 10 people here. The Lord has spoken to you some time ago. I don't know when, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, if you were to say yes to Him, whatever He has spoken to you, there will be a transformation. There will be a new beginning. There will be a restoration. As every eyes closed and every head bowed, just for a while. If you are that person and you say, "Pastor, the Lord has spoke to me 2 years ago, 3 months ago, 5 years ago, and I have not said yes. In fact, I push it away. But tonight, the Holy Spirit is bringing that back to you. That same question. The same task, the same calling has come to you right now. Tonight, if you say, "Yes, Lord," there will be a restoration. There will be a big new beginning. And from today onward, from now on, you're going to see greater things God's going to do in you and through you. If you are that person today, wherever you are, I want you to stand to your feet and lift up your hand and say, "God, I surrender to you right now. I want to obey you." Wherever you are, if you are that person and you want to take the step and you want to surrender to the Lord, just stand wherever you are right now, because the Lord is doing. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Just stand wherever you are. Your standing up is an indication. Your standing up right now is a step of faith that you take to surrender all to Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, as every head bowed and every eyes closed, as your eyes are closed right now, no one looking around, I just want the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. There's a voice speaking to you right now. The only thing you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Just stand together. Let's stand together. It's much easier to pray and worship Him. Just lift up your two hands. And let's begin to worship Him. Just say, "God, I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you." Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come against every doubt and unbelief. We come against, oh God, every fear in the name of Jesus. And I pray tonight for the release in the name of Jesus right now. Father, let the anointing of your Spirit fall upon us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come right now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice to Him. Just begin to pray right now. Oh, worship you, Lord. Ila rabaka yasi, ile la bora la la mori anda la mosi kile lebe. Ila rabare biasi kile lebe la rabori anda la mori anda. Oh, we surrender, Lord, to you. Oh, we give to you, Lord. Ila rabasanda la bori kile lebe la la mosanda. Holy Spirit, touch your people, Lord. God about to bring a revival in this house. I see the fire of God burning in this place, burning bright. Father, I just pray, oh, tonight, Father, let the fire of your Holy Spirit burn in our heart with passion for Jesus. Let it burn with passion for the lost. Let it burn in our heart, oh God, a passion to walk in obedience in the name of Jesus right now. Father, we surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, rakasi kelebe karabasanda labakore kidilelebe. Thank you, Lord. Amanda is going to sing. That's the song message. I want you to come to the Lord. Just be in an attitude of prayer and worship. If you are that person that I talk about, and you say, Pastor, I need prayer. I want to come and dedicate once again my life to Him. I want to give everything to Him. You want to come to the front as the altar of the Lord. You just come, and we just want to wait upon the Holy Spirit to speak, to work deep in our heart today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to come forward right now in an act of obedience to God. Let tonight be a marker that you would say to the Lord, tonight is the night that I said I would no longer be disobedient to you in this area. I know that there is an area the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and He's saying, I'm tired of this area of disobedience in your life. Would you be faithful enough to say, you know what, God, I don't know how I'm going to be obedient, but I can at least be obedient in this. I can come to your altar in obedience and cry out to you, asking for your help in helping me in my obedience. You've already tried on your own strength and failed. You tried the your strength plan.